Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming king awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Welcome to Bride Time Live. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight. Listen, Bride, it is my honor to host ministers from all over the world. We are honored to hear their life stories because it is for God's glory. What is their journey like? Listen with us today as we give God glory for this person. Amen.
All right, Bride, good morning. Good morning on this awesome Saturday morning. Listen, we have the opportunity to highlight more of God's people. If y'all don't already know, our story is for God's glory. People have asked me, why do you interview people and interview their stories? And I tell them, because you get to see God. When you hear what God did in somebody's life, it gives him so much glory. That's why, Bride, we should not hold it back. We should not be ashamed of our story. Why are we ashamed of what God did? He gets all the glory. Today, we have the honor to highlight two servants of God that are serving over in Italy. How many of us, Bride, have ever wanted to go to Italy? I know I have. We get to hear today about what is God doing in Italy. What is the Spirit of God doing over there? We get to hear this today. I'm so excited to have Pastor Stephen and Rebecca Colburn. Yay! How are y'all doing today?
Oh,
we are blessed.
Yes,
blessed,
ma'am.
Very
yes,
honored,
ma'am.
Very humble.
Yes.
Thank you.
I am so happy to have y'all on the broadcast today. Listen, Bride, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Stephen. Stephen has been in the military. He entered the Army on September 11th of 1996, and he actually, he was born in Houston, Texas, and he entered into the Army on September 11th. Isn't that funny, of 1996? And he ended up retiring from the Army, but I just want to share, Bride, some of the awards that this man received in the Army. This is the caliber that you're about to hear from. He, CW3 Colburn's awards and decorations include Meritorious Service Medal, Second Award, Joint Service Commendation Medal, Army Commendation Medal, Fourth Award, Army Achievement Medal, Fifth Award, Air Force Achievement Medal, Army Good Conduct Medal, 3 knots, National Defense Service Medal, Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, Kosovo Campaign Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, Military Outstanding Volunteer Service Medal, NCO Professional Development Ribbon, Second Numeric Device, Army Service Ribbon, Overseas Service Ribbon, NATO Medal, Air Assault Badge, Airborne Badge, Recruiter Badge. CW3 Colborne Stephen retired from the United States Army Africa Command, Southeastern Task Force, Vicenza, Italy, as the Regional Interface Control Officer and Air Defense Airspace Management Command and Control Systems Technician Integrator. He's been married for 22 and a half years to Rebecca Colburn of Sealy, Texas. They have two sons, Tyler and Logan. They are the pastoral leadership team for the Refuge Worship Centers in Vicenza, Italy, and Aviano, Italy. Yay! We're so honored to have y'all with us today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. We are honored as well. Blessed.
Yes, now listen, sir, I just want to thank you for your service in the military. Thank you so much for all that you have done.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. As you were reading that off, I believe, again, we retired 1 February of 2018, just about 8, 9, 10 days ago. And as you were reading that off, I couldn't help but break down. And for the first time in 21 and a half years, I felt released from the military to continue doing God's work. So I want to thank you for that, because I didn't receive that when I exited the military. Thank you.
If it's okay,
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to caveat that, and I just want to say I really felt the Lord saying, you know, those awards, you know, show the Army's appreciation for you, but we've been awarded through Christ, you know, through our salvation and justification and grace. So, thank you.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Yes, now listen, Pastor, I would love for you to take us back in time. I know it said that you was born in Houston, Texas, which I have a lot of friends out there. Hello to all my friends in Houston. You said you was born in Houston, Texas on September 7th, 1971. I would like for you to take us back in time. Like, was you born in a Christian home? Was you born in a big family? What is your story?
Okay, well, going back a long way, I was not born in a big family. I would say Christianity in my family was lukewarm at best. I attribute it a lot to my grandparents when we would visit them. Oftentimes, I grew up in a single-income family. My mom was the breadwinner and the provider, and I give her all the praise and credit for how hard she worked and what she did for us on single income and remaining her sanity intact.
Yeah.
But we were not raised. We didn't go to church every Sunday. We kind of moved from apartment to apartment as we couldn't afford rent at one. We moved to another, and sometimes it was just to get us out of being in trouble as young boys, because we had a lot of energy, me and my two brothers. So at times that played a big role in it. And we grew up in Katy, Texas.
Oh, no way! I've got a lot of friends in Katy, Texas.
Hallelujah. It's a small kingdom, amen.
Yes, amen. Right, Katy.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. But that's where my upbringing began. The seeds were planted. However, we were lukewarm at best. Things of the world of the flesh definitely took the front stage for a good half of my life, if you will. And even though I received Jesus initially at a younger age, I wasn't following, and nor were my family nor my friends. So I found it an oxymoron to say I love Jesus Christ, yet go out and do the things I was doing that were dishonoring him. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But that changed. That changed on July of 2001. After 4 years of being overseas in Germany, my wife and I came to our first stateside duty station at Fort Hood, Texas. Hello, the greatest nation in the world. But that's where I truly received salvation, or we could say born again. A young non-commissioned. I'm sorry?
I said, oh, that's awesome.
Hallelujah. We had a young staff sergeant who came to our door on a weekend, on a Saturday, and Saturday, and he had to come to my door, and I was getting prepared for a football game in the morning, and I meant the whole gamut from the shirts to the beer to the you name it. I was getting ready while he was before he was getting ready to go to a Saturday night revival service, and he came to my door, and I didn't even have a shirt on. And when I came to the door, I felt conviction like never before. I felt a heaviness, and to make a long story short, we stood out there for about 10 minutes with the door shut. I went back inside to get clothes, to put down my beer. I walked inside. I poured out all of my beer in the sink, and my wife was wondering, what is going on here, Lord? I've been asking for this for a long time, and I hope this is what I think it is. And it was exactly what she thought it was. He led me to Christ right there on my front doorstep there in Fort Hood, Texas, off post. And he took me straight to the revival. It was a two-week revival, might I tell you. Every single night, every single evening, we were there from sundown to 10 or 12 o'clock at night, and the Lord was absolutely just moving in me, the Holy Spirit, just pouring out. I felt the weightlessness for the first time in my life, true weightlessness, and God's glory. I began to see things that I had yet not seen due to my disobedience. It was a good feeling.
So at that point, was your wife already saved?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Yes, ma'am. I was saved at a very young age, about 8 years old. Now, kind of like my husband, I didn't necessarily follow Christ. I had a good home. You know, I was brought up in a good home. My parents are Catholic, and then all of my mother's side of the family, we go spend with them in the summertime. With our grandparents, so I had the Pentecostal influence in the summertime. So I had influence on both sides, but at the same time, you know, right as my husband was saved, I recommitted. I recommitted with him to follow Christ wholeheartedly at that point.
How did you two meet?
We're college sweethearts, just prior to going into the military.
Aww.
That was a blessing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you both are saved now. You just got back from Germany when you got saved. You're still in the military. After you got saved, what did God do? Did he just keep you in the military for the next 20 years and then you just served him wherever you went, or what happened?
Yes, ma'am. We served. It was then that we started getting involved. We weren't seeing his plan unfold yet, but he knew it the whole time, obviously, because his ways are greater than ours. His plans are bigger than ours. And as we moved from duty station to duty station to duty station, we grew in all the ministries. We started, we started off as maybe just in, with the lay ministries, maybe as greeters, and then ushers, and then audiovisual, and then we started moving into life groups, and then we started moving into the speaking up front prior, opening announcement.
Really, whatever the need, I think we kind of wanted to stretch and grow and learn, and we learned later that sometimes that, you might be called a gap filler. We wanted to fill whatever the need. We really didn't care what we did. We knew we wanted to serve the Lord in whatever the need was in that location. And I think we can look back now, we can see that with each, change of duty station, maybe the Lord was teaching us something new, maybe making us aware of a new gift or, some of our talents and how to use them.
Yeah.
And some are hard lessons, but we can look back upon that and see where, he sent us specific places for specific reasons.
Yes.
Again, blessings.
Well, what in the world, how did y'all end up in Italy?
Well, I like to use the I like to use the word, we were voluntold by Mother Army. Every 2 to 4 years, all armed forces service, that's all branches, they go through a process called PCS, Permanent Change of Duty Station, and you are to go stateside, and maybe overseas, back to stateside, and then you might get a school environment somewhere back in the States, and that's a training slot, because you got to mix it up with your time in garrison, as well as your time downrange. And we started off in Germany, and then we ended up, lastly, in Vicenza, Italy. I started off in the 173rd Brigade Airborne in Italy when we first arrived there. And halfway through my tour, I moved over to USAREF, United States Army Africa Command, and CTAF, Southeastern Task Force. So it was quite the journey, and it was just a high-paced environment that we were thrown into. And actually, I even took one for the team, as they call it in the military. They needed somebody over here. We were not originally. I was supposed to be going to Space Command in Stuttgart, Germany. And that's like, for us, that's what we call as chief warrant officers, the pinnacle of our careers. You know, that sets us up for, you know, chief warrant officer 5, and I'm currently, or was, a 3. So, but God had other plans, and we wound up being diverted to Vicenza, Italy. We didn't know why, and we did not question the Lord. We might have talked to ourselves like, okay, we're in for something big. And from the moment we arrived in Vicenza, Italy, we realized that God has a plan and a purpose over each and every one of our lives, especially the believers. Hallelujah, I'm going to preach. I'm telling you, he had absolutely made it clear that we were not there for the pasta. We weren't there for any of that. We were there strictly because he was about to allow us the opportunity to step into the pulpit. The one thing I had not done yet, even though I preached amongst all the nations, I had not yet fulfilled that ministry, that title. And our pastors, the founding pastors there, they were called to Africa. They had those two churches. They were called to Africa to an orphanage in Ukule Village, and down there in Tanzania, Africa. So they asked us to, if we would be the overseers. And that's where it all started. And then we ordained shortly after the Church of God. And it has absolutely just been a blessing since that very day. You know, I received baptism in the Holy Spirit when we first arrived there. And I will tell you, you want to talk about spring, you want to talk about moving in power. It helps me to drop a lot of things, a lot of addictions in my life, a lot of these idols that we spoke on yesterday, a lot of things that were consuming my life that I never realized, just like that from the moment on. And I received my prayer language, and I'm going to tell you, it's been powerful. It's been powerful. Yeah.
Well, I would like for you to talk to us a minute, Pastor, about Italy. What is going on there spiritually? Like, what is the climate like? What is your biggest spiritual warfare that you face there in the spirit? And how can we come together in agreement with you in the spirit realm for you to have victory in your mission over there?
Amen, amen. Well, I will tell you that over there in Europe, and I'm going to speak really, we've been everywhere in Europe. I didn't list any of those places, but we've been to most of those countries. But in Italy, you know, that's home of Catholicism. There's a heaviness there, okay? And I'm not here to speak on any different denominations. I'm here to speak about God and what he has for us. But I will tell you that there's a heaviness over there. There's a heaviness. And I'm going to tell you that Italians, they're for the most part, and as they've told me, a lot of them just refuse to go to church. They believe it's a lot of organized political stuff, and it hurts my heart when I talk to them. I say, "Let's concentrate on Jesus, okay, to help try and work in that cycle that's been built up over that time of animosity." But I will tell you that we have had at the church in Vicenza, we've had an influx of Catholics who have come, and I'm talking in abundance, and some of them don't even speak English, and as soon as they step into the church, and this is all of God, this is not Pastor Stephen Rebecca, we're just the vessels that are being used for his glory, that from the time the music starts to the time that we release at the end of service, whenever that may be, there's tears flowing. They come and they say, "I felt something I have never felt before." And I say, "Praise God, you know the Holy Spirit." And there's plenty of that at this church, and we can show you how to utilize that and how to receive Jesus Christ. And they come and they receive Jesus Christ, and they absolutely, they're bringing more. They're bringing more into the church, and we're very blessed by that, not so much because we're pulling from the Catholics or the Baptists, because that's not what we're here for. We're here to bring people to know Jesus Christ, the truth, the way, and the life. Amen.
Right.
Right. I remember when we first stepped off of the plane and landed, I was so excited, and I thought, we're going to be in Italy and in the middle of the summer, and the sun is shining, and we're landing in Venice, and it's going to be beautiful. And it was, don't get me wrong, it was beautiful. But I remember when we got off the plane and we stepped outside, those expectations that I had, there was a different feeling, and I didn't know what it was by name at that time. And now I can I know enough to say that was the spirit of religion.
Mm.
There that was the heaviness that we were beginning to feel very early on. And you know, I think from that moment on, with a little bit of calling coming upon us, you know, knowing that we would be speaking truth, that we would be responsible, you know, for speaking the truth and in love. But there is, we've seen, you know, chains broken. We've seen deliverance. We've seen strongholds loosened. And that's anywhere you go. Wherever the Lord plants, you know, us, we've always been committed to serving and ministering. That spirit of religion isn't just in Italy. That's all over the world. But that is definitely one of the things that we have seen.
But at the church in Aviano, which is the Air Force base, the Chisholm is the Army base. So going over to the Refuge Worship Center in Aviano, completely different worship style and different cultural and ethnical backgrounds and makeup and composition. They have a lot of refugees that have come from Africa or all these little factions that have taken place, and they're Muslim. And they come over here, and we've seen a very big, very big undertaking in them coming to the church there at the Refuge in Aviano and receiving Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And there's a beautiful river out there called the Pulcinella River, and it's crystal clear, crystal cold, and that's where they receive their water baptism shortly after. And it's just been a blessing to see their hearts change and to see the blessings that God has given to them, thankful for their obedience and the job they're getting. And some of them are still struggling, but they are giving God the thanks and the praise that he so deserves, and they believe. They have that faith. They have that faith, and God is honoring them.
Yeah. Well, now, Pastor, I would like for us to pray. I'm going to ask the bride to pray with me, and we're going to pray about your churches over there, the region, and the spiritual warfare that's going on there, because it's our honor to partner with heaven and with what God is doing with you there. Is that okay, sir?
Oh, amen. Amen and amen.
All right, I want us to pray about that, because we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood. It is with that. It's with the principalities and the powers. And I believe that today is a divine appointment, and I feel in the spirit there's a shift coming to you. And when you go back over there, you're going to feel a shift in the kingdom when you go back over there. I thank you, Lord, I just feel this. I thank you for greater authority coming to them in the spirit and tearing down strongholds in the region and sending them intercessors, people that will come with them and partner with them to tear down these strongholds so that the gospel of truth can go forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just come to you this morning. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to even talk to this couple, to meet this couple. We thank you, Lord, that you wrote both of their books. We're sitting here listening to their stories, Lord, their journeys of what you did, Lord, to take them where they're at today and to place them in Italy for a mission. You wrote their stories, Lord, because you're the great author and you're the finisher of their faith. And, Lord, we're meeting them in the midst of that journey, and we have come in together today in partnership with heaven, in agreement, Lord, that that mission, that book that you wrote for them, the plan that you have, the greatness that you have for them shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Lord, we're in agreement, Lord, that all of their tools that they need to accomplish this mission over there, the strategies that they're going to need to accomplish this mission, Lord, partnering them with people that will be able to accelerate their ministry, Lord, giving them favor with other ministers over there, favor with the government, Lord, favor in the region, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for expanding their territory, Lord, to where they go, expanding the vision that they have, the seed that you planted on the inside of them, Lord, to expand into those regions, Lord. We thank you, God, for granting unto them, I feel this in the spirit, satellite and television. Come on, Lord, to get it out there, spreading the word. Yes, Lord, come on now, giving the media, Lord. Give them the media over there to be able to spread the gospel and spread the truth, Lord. Lord, we are in agreement today that all of the demonic oppression and spirits of religion over there, Lord, the lies from the pits of hell, that they would come down in Jesus' name. The bride across the world, we're in agreement that those regions where they have these church plants over in Italy, that they will have dominion and authority, and that those strongholds would have to come down. And we thank you for increasing in their authority in those regions, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for winds from the north, south, east, and west. Give it up for the will of God over that area in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, Lord. I feel a fire of God right now. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen, I want to ask y'all to something. I'm sitting here listening to your story, and I think about your mothers. I want to ask you, Rebecca, when you talked about your mom, that she was Catholic, did she ever get saved?
You know, I believe that my parents know the Lord. I do.
Yeah.
They know the Lord, and I believe that we have had the opportunity as well. We strongly believe, you know, that our lives are living sacrifices. We are walking
Amen.
Testimonies, not only in our words, but also in our deeds and actions. And so we have also had that opportunity to continue to plant seeds, to water as well.
Yes.
And we trust that very, very soon and continually and constantly the Lord will give the increase.
Stephen, I want to ask you about your mama. You know, you said that your mama raised you as a single woman. Whatever happened to her? Did she ever get married or anything?
Oh, she was married a few times. She's been divorced since the last, and she's still she's in Lufkin, Texas currently. And I've asked her point blank. We have a very good relationship. It's been via phone most of the time since we've been in Italy, but since we've been down,
yeah,
we've spent a lot of time with her. And I'm going to tell you, she grew up Episcopalian and Lutheran and Methodist, and praise God, you know, she had that. She
yeah.
had got her moving, you know. But since we have been back and we've been at her place and been able to fellowship together with her, you know, it used to be a little bit ago, she thought I was a little over the edge and a little, you know, Steve, I don't know about all of this and speaking in tongues, but I'm going to tell you, she's come to absolutely grow. And she calls us and says, hey, tell me about this in the Bible now. I want to make sure I'm getting this right. And
yeah.
The words that come from her mouth, she's speaking life and truth now, and I'm really thankful for that. And she's told me that she has accepted the Lord. I was very specific when I asked her, and she answered all the questions that I had for her. And I know that she's gonna her name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I'm honored to know that, and that my brothers and that my boys and my wife, we're all going to see each other one day. Amen.
Yes. Now, Stephen, listen. I want to just praise God for both of your mamas because they really raised some good kids. And I know that both of those mamas are so proud of y'all. So if you don't mind, I'd like to take a moment and pray for your mamas. And then after we finish praying, I would like for us to take a commercial break. And, Pastor, when we come back, would you mind speaking a word into America?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for Stephen and Rebecca's mothers, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the great job that they did in raising these kids, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, their stories are not over. Come on now. Their stories are not over. Lord, we just pray you send people to them, Lord, that will speak truth, that will help them, Lord, to understand, Lord, who you are and the deliverance of who you are, Lord, and the great mercies of you. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Fill them with your fire, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to hear from Pastor Stephen, and he's going to give us a word to America.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Dr. Knight. You know, my wife and I, as we pray each and every day and we meditate on the Word, we realize that here in 2018, and I'm not wanting to say the word for this year, but I believe a word that we have received is the word urgency. Urgency. It's been on our hearts. We've wept. It's been on our hearts. It has come into our lives and really filled us. And I think we can all agree that we are near end of times, if not in the end of times. Amen. And what came to me just a couple of days ago while I was going through the Word with urgency on my mind, I think the Lord laid the parable of the lost sheep that came to my mind. Now, this is for America and for each American, because it's all of the Americans that make America. So hear me, in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, 10 through 14, we see that we've all known some lost sheep at some point in time, right? In the Bible, in those chapters, in those verses, Jesus says that first of all, he's placed angels over our lives, and they're looking down from heaven, and they're in charge of our protection and helping us along. They're the messengers of God, right? And it says that suppose we have 99 sheep, that is the flock, our flock, and that one goes astray from the 100. One goes astray. He says, is it not better to go and get that one who's gone astray and bring him back than to just stay with the 99? And we know there's safety and power in numbers. And it even says that the Lord, that God says that he is not willing that one shall perish. Amen. And I believe that if we can start looking at that as Christians and followers of Christ, that we can change the heart and mind in just a massive and powerful way. You know, we all know of that lost sheep before at some point in our lives, right? We know that, you know, people in our lives that used to maybe go to church or that we used to fellowship with or maybe go to the some of those outreach programs, but yet they're not attending anymore. We all know some lost sheep even within our churches, right? And not just our homes, but our realm of influences, because we all have that power of influence as Christ's children. And I would say with that knowledge, let's make it an effort, a daily effort, to lead the comfort of our flock, America, the 99, or the 100, but the 99 that's there in the safety and confinement of Jesus Christ that we know and talk to on a daily basis. Let's get out of our comforts and find that one lost sheep, amen. They may have strayed the church. They may have strayed from it and just need a word to be spoken back in their lives, right? They may have had a bad taste from the church in the past or from an argument with you or somebody that you knew in the past. And they may have had a tragic event or numerous that I've known of that have taken place in their life. and maybe they're mad at a person or even worse, God, amen. Look, we're all called to encourage and edify one another because it ultimately glorifies God, hallelujah. And when we read that last verse, verse 14, again, you see that our Father in heaven, it says, I'm going to capitalize, he is not willing that any, listen, if you're on here listening, look to your friend, your loved one on there out there in internet land, look to them and say any. It is imperative, not willing. Our Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost, amen. Friends, we have kingdom work to do, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we really think about it, this was not an option given by God. It was a command by God. It's very critical. And then in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, I think we all know, or is the Great Commission, amen. And we know that the Bible tells us that we are to go make and baptize, right? That's Christ's primary command, not his secondary or tertiary. It's his primary command. We're to reach the lost world, the unbelievers, and the lost sheep. We're talking about believers right there. Here we're talking about the unbelievers in the Great Commission. And we read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, you see that? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, many of us are waiting on the Lord's answers before we go make him baptize. We're waiting because we don't know what he wants. But I'm here to tell you, he's already given us in his word in the Bible, verse 19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's as far as the east is to the west and the north is the south. Amen. All. He's given us a very vague, and he's done it to many things, many of his disciples. He gave them vague instructions of what to do sometimes, right? That left us a lot of lead room, a left limit and a right limit to move. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. He says, therefore, make disciples. So we've got to keep that in mind whenever we are leading people to Christ and salvation. They are very, very, they're new and vulnerable to the attack. We must follow up with discipleship. That is key. We've seen so much exponential growth within the churches in Italy because of discipleship. We're honoring God when we're nurturing and feeding Christians so that they can fight off the enemy, the evil one. Satan, amen. It's our primary duty and our discipline to the brothers and sisters in Christ who've recently had their name, as we say, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, once they've accepted Christ. And we know that it's going to be that continual process that takes place after they receive salvation, right? And it's that crucial time in their new walk with Christ. We must disciple. We must disciple. But there are some that think of the Great Commission as being interpreted as the Great Omission. I'm here to tell you it's for each and every one of us, and I know that you know this, but it's for everyone. We have to be willing participants. We have to be the broken vessel that the Lord will use us and fill us, all of him, not of us, for this to take place. And until we're to do this until his second coming, hallelujah. And I have one more quick word. Lastly, we need to get out there and give our testimony, such as today. We know it's important. If God put it in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, chapter 12 and 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. Amen.
And I would like to share, this is a scripture that I'm sure that is not unfamiliar to anyone. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. I call them if-then statements. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways,
yes,
then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Yes.
It is my prayer that America, the Christians in America are called by name. Each and every one is called by name, that they will humble themselves, that they will pray, they will wholeheartedly seek the face of the Lord.
Yes.
They will turn away, they will repent, they will turn from their wicked ways, because the Heavenly Father is like the prodigal, like waiting for the prodigal son to return to the porch to him. Then he will hear them their cries. He will hear their cries and answer their prayers. He will forgive their sins and heal the land, heal the nation. That is my prayer.
Yes, urgency, urgency. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well, listen, Pastor, I took several notes while you both were speaking. And I think it's so powerful when you say this, you said, we must leave the 99. And I'm going to tell you, Pastor, in our country, this is so true. We get comfortable around people that are like us, you know, people that are Christians, and we're all involved in our church, and we hang around only people that's in our church, and we forget about the lost ones out there.
Amen.
And going back to the Great Commission, the whole reason that we're called, and, you know, I just want to throw this out there. You know, I've been studying the ecumenical movement, which is the Pope, you know, trying to pull all these churches together in this one world religion.
Yes, ma'am.
They're really striving for miracles, signs, and wonders. But they leave off the whole point of Christianity, which is the Great Commission.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You see what I mean? It's a false unity. It's a. It's just not the way you do Christianity. Christianity is salvation. It's transformation. It's change. Turning, repentance, you know, looking at your sins. I really received that today, sir, about going after the one. I received that today. And then when you talked about us giving our testimony, you know, I've talked to so many people and they'll say, I'm embarrassed about the sin that I was involved in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did God deliver you from that? You're no longer that person. You're a new creation. You know, and that is the testimony. That's your life and your story of what God did to bring you out of that. Now you're somebody totally different. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
We don't need to be ashamed of our story. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you all so much for coming on here and sharing today. Listen. I really honor y'all for what you're doing today and what you're doing over in Italy, and I would love to come to Italy one day.
Hallelujah. The invitation's open.
Oh, well, thank you. Listen, the architecture of those buildings are amazing.
I agree.
Yes, ma'am. It never ends.
Yes, because I went to London when I was in grad school. And I walked in one of the buildings that was built in, like, the 1400s, and I just started crying. I mean, just one thing about our country is we forget all of the beauty of the older buildings, and we just tear them down and build new. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I love how they, you know, they keep their history and whatnot. Okay, Pastor, well, we're going to pray for you if that's okay, and then we would love it if you would pray for us and pray for the bride. Lord, we just come to you again this morning, Lord, and we thank you for their story. Lord, we thank you that they came on this broadcast today to give you glory for their story. Lord, we thank you for the encouraging word that you spoke through them to speak to the bride about get up, go, do the Great Commission, go after the lost, go after the Great Commission. And, Lord, we receive that today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for blessing their family, Lord, their entire family line, calling all of them in, the prodigals in, calling them into a revelation of who you are, Lord, understanding what their mission is and understanding what their calling is. And just like he started off with this broadcast tonight, Lord, urgency. This is an urgent hour, Lord, and we pray that their families would be restored and that they would recognize the timing that they are in as well, Lord. And, Lord, we pray that you bless them and their vision over there in Italy, their mission, give them safe travels back over there, blessing them in all their regions, blessing them in their buildings, expanding their territory, and blessing them in all ways, including their marriage, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Pastor, if you don't mind praying for our ministry, and then if you would pray for the United States and the bride, I'd appreciate it, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we can't give you enough adoration, Father God. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, Father God. And as the Great Commission, we know that all things can be done through your strength, Father God, with this 4:13. But we come before you just to give you the adoration and the credit that you so deserve, Father God. And we want to walk in your way, Father God. We want to seek your Christ-likeness, Lord. May we seek to be 100% like you, not thinking that we're not perfect. Let's not concentrate on that. If we seek your 100% Christ-likeness, Father God, if we fall short, then we're still way up there, Father God. You have a standard. You're a God of standards, Father God. May we never, never, never use that for legalization or religion, Father God. We are so thankful to have you, Father, and all that you do in our lives. We're thankful that you're the God of yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever will be, Father God.
Yes.
We thank you for loving us, even when we did not love or know you, Father God. And we just pray for that heart transformation, as we said, Father God. May your word forever be etched upon our hearts, Father God, because we know that Satan, the evil one, is not scared of a Christian. He's not scared of the church. He's not scared of a Bible. But, Lord, whenever we're in praise and worship and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and we're getting into the word and daily prayer and being nourished, he has to flee in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God.
Yeah.
We pray that you'll bring back that one lost sheep, Father God, that you'll bring back that place in our hearts, Father God, to continue to be obedient servants of the Lord, because he who wishes to be the great amongst the many must first become the least of the best, amen. We must be followers and servant leaders, Father God. Use each and every one of us here on the lines, on the internet, on the phones, Father God. Touch us, touch our hearts. Cleanse us, Father God. We ask forgiveness and we repent, Father God. Repentance is so important in prayer, Father God. We turn away. We turn away from this, Father God, saying that, look, we're not going to do it again, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the bride. We thank you for the bride and Dr. Knight and all involved in this ministry, Lord, because yokes are being broken. Chains are being loosed, Father God. They're being broken. We take away every chain, Father God, here on this earth, Lord. We say in the mighty name of Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we ask, we rebuke Satan, Father God, anything from the evil one that's not of you, that he has no hold or territories on anybody's lives, Father God, or send your angels, Father God, charge your angels over the four corners of everybody's house, Father God, where their work is, Father God, whenever they go into the commissaries or restaurants or baseball games, Father God. Bless them, Father God. May they use that as an opportunity to preach the Great Commission, Father God. And if we just touched one life today, it was well worth it, Father God. But I know that you're the God of big miracles and big things. So we came together in agreement today with high expectations that many will be touched, Father God. Many will be touched. And that we ask, speaking on that you bring America back, Father God. Deliver us from the evil one, Father God, and the president, as he is allowing your word and God to be in the mix again and in the schools, Father God. And we pray that will be like a spirit fire all over America. And it will take flame and blaze a path for the future, Father God, for your heavenly kingdom, not ours, but your glory, Father God. And we just ask for forgiveness amongst our countries, just like you did with Israel, Father God. They messed up time and time and time again, and you punished them, but you brought them to another route of redemption each and every time, Father God. And we are so grateful for that. Lord, Europe, the countries in Europe and NATO and all those things, Lord, they want to be like America. America does not even know that. But I can tell you firsthand, they want to be like Americans. They want to do like Americans. They want to be the dancers and the singers and all these pop culture icons that are not godly figureheads, Father. I ask you to place somebody in those figureheads' lives, Father God. Speak truth that their hearts may change and they come to know you, Father God, because the rest of the world is trying to follow in their footsteps, and they're the false prophets, God. Some of them ignorantly, Father. The other ones, they just don't know you, Father God. Bring them, Father God. Place them in their lives. Touch them, Father God. We love you. We give you thanks and praise. You are the altar. Mighty, mighty, mighty. You are a worthy King, Father God.
Yes.
You are worthy.
Yes, Lord. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord God, for we are the bride ministry, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for equipping Dr. June Knight, Lord God.
Yes.
Father God, I pray that you would continue the good work in her that you have already started, Lord. Father God, may she know that you will perfect all that concerns her, Lord God. Father God, I pray that you would continue to bless her in the ministry, Lord God, all that
all that she speaks to, all that she reaches, Lord God. Father God, would you, I just pray that you would open doors for this ministry, that you would continue to order the steps of the ministry, Lord God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill them, give them a fresh anointing, Lord God, and favor not only, Lord God, in man, but more than anything, your favor, Father God. Father God, I pray that you would just bless them abundantly more than they could ever imagine, Lord God, with peace, love, joy, Lord God. We pray that you're so holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank y'all so much for being with us today. I pray that y'all have a blessed day today. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We love each and every one of you out there. Thank you for listening today. God bless y'all. Praise God.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I need you to tell the audience how they can find out more about you. Do you have a website, Facebook page, or what?
Yes, we do. We do have a website for each church, the RefugeVicenza.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the RefugeAviano.com. And each of them will have links to the Facebook pages on them.
Hallelujah.
Oh, okay, very good. So it's the RefugeChurch.com.
The Refuge Vicenza, V-I-C-E-N-Z-A, Vicenza.com, and then the other is the Refuge Aviano, A-V-I-A-N-O.com. We appreciate
okay,
being
I'll put them up on the website for people to find you. Okay, thank you so much, pastors. Y'all have a great day. God bless you.
Hallelujah. God bless. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.